for a while, and I'm amazed that he's still pastoring. But my wife and I speak of him fondly. He's one of those guys that you can either take or you're going to have your feelings hurt all the time. And I just soon take him because he makes me happy. I laugh at him, and he's a good brother, and I greatly enjoy the fellowship. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here and that the Lord will allow me to do this. Temple Baptist Church does love missions. We call it the most wonderful time of the year whenever we have our missions conference. We love to have missionaries. We love it when a bunch of kids are there running around and getting in the way of things going on. I tell the missionaries, hey, we know your kids are kids because our kids are kids. And when our kids aren't kids anymore, then your kids don't have to be kids either. So I know you don't understand that, neither do I, but let's move on. You're going to find sometimes that I get very distracted, and then other times you're going to find that you're going to get very distracted. So I am glad to be here, though, and I love missions. I love missionaries. I'm thankful for people who will go. I surrendered to be a missionary, but the Lord never opened the opportunity or the door. And that's okay with me. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I'm where I'm supposed to do it, right there in El Dorado, Kansas, and I'm thankful for it. But I'm always thankful when a missionary comes through or I get to meet a missionary or a church planter. I'm just thankful that they're willing to go. I mean, can you imagine somebody going to Santa Barbara, California? I mean, if it was Santa Barbara, Texas, it might be okay, but it's Santa Barbara, California. It is the left coast on purpose, but it's beautiful, and people are drawn there, and you know what? They are whosoever will may come. And I'm thankful that we have folks that are willing to do that. And so just praise the Lord. Let's look forward to the week. I'm looking forward to the next few services with you. If you would turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Lord's kind of led me in a direction for this, and we're going to start here, and you're going to wonder, well, I'm here on a Wednesday night for missions conference. Why are we starting here? And I believe that it's because we have to make a decision before we agree with God about His plan to reach the world. You and I, as believers, have to make a personal decision. And tonight we're going to look at a main thought here that will drive our personal decisions. So if you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 10 of chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. When you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, I don't know if you underline your Bible or you're going to be taking notes, but just remember this, that you and I are going to answer for whatever we've done, whether it's good or bad. There's always consequences, good or bad. So the Bible continues to say, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." Now, if you're, again, taking notes or whatever, remember this thought. There is a difference between glorying in appearance and then absolutely this appearance being something that comes from your heart. So now the Bible says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want to ask you a question tonight. What constrains you? To constrain means to, by some type of force, either cause you to act or prohibit you, restrain you from action. What is it that constrains you? We have a job, but there's only one way to do the job. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the good folks here from Berean Baptist that are here tonight. First night of missions conference, their presence obviously is because they want to learn more about your heart, about reaching people all around the world, in the United States and abroad. Lord, you've given us the commission. You've given us the ministry of reconciliation. We see that. But God, I know that for me, as probably others, sometimes my heart for that begins to wane because I see the world and I see things going on in the world. And so, Lord, I need not only to be motivated, but I need to be pressed. I need to be driven to action. And so I pray that you would help us to see this driving force that will help us to understand not only what your heart is, but how we can best perform that which you've given us to do, and that's reach the world for Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for making us ambassadors. I pray that we would take our calling very seriously, and especially tonight, as we're in your word, that you'd use your Holy Spirit and your word to change us. God, be with my mouth, guide my thoughts. I pray that nothing would be said that should not be said. And Lord, if there's something that needs to be said, I pray that you would bring it to mind. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you know and you read your Bible, and you should read your Bible often, like every day. But if you read the Bible, you know that 1 and 2 Corinthians are written to the church at Corinth, who is struggling in 1 Corinthians with the way that they were supposed to be serving Christ, that the way that they were supposed to be bringing glory to Christ. And it looks like, if you look at it very closely, in 1 Corinthians, they're very inwardly focused. They're more concerned about who they were instead of who Christ is. And so they got a lot of things messed up. And I'm not going to go through the entire book, but I will. You know that they were messed up in the way that they came together. They were messed up in the way they served one another. They were messed up in the Lord's Supper. They were messed up like a lot of churches are messing up right now, thinking it's all about them, when absolutely it is not. Amen. It's never been all about us. But they thought it was. Well, there's a reason that they did, and that's because, and if you read 1 Corinthians and you break it all down, Paul really reprimands them because their minds are carnal. All right, so we're gonna talk just a little bit about that to kind of get into this, the first part of this message and these messages. So their mind was carnal. Carnality is just thinking more about the flesh and being driven by it than you are being driven by the Spirit of God. So the Bible says this. Paul writes this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So a carnal mind is enmity with God, the Bible says. It's something that's opposite of what we're supposed to be. Well, evidently, if you let carnality stay in your life, according to what we learn in 1 Corinthians, then you'll begin to accept things as natural that are unnatural. And so in chapter number 5, he begins to tell them, you're thinking sin is something that's not very serious to God, and so you're overlooking something that's not even among the Gentiles, and it's that a man would have his father's wife. And you're acting like there's no big deal. You're glorying in it. He actually uses those words about that you're ignoring it. You're saying, we tolerate. So why would you and I tolerate the sin that God nailed his son to the cross for? And then is it possible for us today to stay in that mindset? Well, yes, it's very possible. The main drive of the church is not the main drive of the church anymore. The main drive of the church has always been for us to do what the children of Israel were called to do, and that's reach the world with the message of God. And in our day and age, in this dispensation of grace, you and I are called to tell the world by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're called to do. Very early then, if we think about this time-wise, this isn't very far after Jesus. Paul has been to Corinth. Paul is writing to Corinth. They already have left what they were supposed to do very quickly. Why? Well, let me kind of give you an example. I am married to Twyla, the lovely and gracious Twyla. Her mom was straight up West Texan. And this is how she named Twyla. She was pregnant, she was driving one night across West Texas, and she heard the radio announcer say, from twilight to dawn, we're radio such and such. She goes, you know, that'd be a pretty name for my daughter, Twyla Dawn. And there she sits right there. Notice that I started moving away when I said that. And so I am married to Twyla, and that was just to introduce you to her. She's one of the meanest women I know. So anyway, there are things about Twyla that I really, really, really appreciate. And I'm not going to go into the long list of things that I greatly appreciate. One is that she's been married to me for 41 years, and she has taken this same guff all the time. But people, she can dish. So don't worry. But there is something that listen, constrains me from looking at other women. There's something that constrains me about being faithful. And now listen to me. Not always. Now there is, because there's a relationship that is, it's changed my attitude. Amen. Do you understand? So if you're a woman looking for a man, don't come looking at me, because I don't need another woman. One woman's enough. And that's the one God gave me. Plus, she would kill me if I did anything else. So, there is something about being married and being serious about marriage. I'm talking not just about the commitment, but the more that you love someone, the more you think about what they want than what you want. But there's something about this constraining that's different than the constraining that's in the scripture here. This is what I want to tell you. This constraining depends on me remembering, me thinking. Sometimes I don't do that well. this depends on me engaging and investing in this relationship. There's something different about this constraining in the Bible that I learned and I was overwhelmed by. So in chapter number 4, Paul begins to talk about the power of God working in us in this mortal body. And he says that it's by the power of the resurrection. So he says in verse number 14 of chapter 4, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So he begins to talk about this gift that God has given us that actually works in us without us sometimes knowing that it's working. So, for instance, why would you be at church on a Wednesday night? A lot of churches aren't having church on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, what draws you to come on a Wednesday night? What would draw you to come on a Sunday night? If you start thinking about it, you might say, well, it's been my habit. I was raised in church. This is the only thing I know. But honestly, if you're born again, here's the reason you're faithful. Because God is working in you all the time. And you know what he's working in us to do? While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, trying to gain our attention and take it away from the present and put it toward heaven. And he wants to do that in every human being, but especially in believers. He starts that work at salvation. And that's why if you're constrained by the wrong thing, you won't be happy. If you're constrained by, and I'm just going to go through a list of things, your 401k or your retirement, and that's what drives you, you're going to be sadly disappointed in eternity. If your children and their education constrains you to do whatever you do here, whatever you love here, if it's one of these things, you think your children are going to be in sports and they're going to be NFL stars, which I don't see anybody big enough in here to make it there. In fact, I know of a kid who's 6'6", and he doesn't even play first string for the Indiana Hoosiers football team, and they're not good. And so, but he wants to go to the NFL, and so he's lived his life for that. Now, I like him. I think he's a great kid, and he's a very good kid, so that's not his only goal. His goal is to be a doctor, or was. But I'm telling you, you've got to be careful. He's the only kid that I've ever known that had the potential to go, is what I'm trying to tell you. Hardly anybody does. But you know when it's going to matter what you lived for? When you get to heaven. And so God is always working in us, trying to get our mind off of the now. And I don't mean living in some kind of weird state. I'm talking about get our mind off of living for things here and get our mind and heart living for eternity. So how does he do that? He brings things into our lives to remind us. So look at verse number 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So we have something in us, he's called the Holy Spirit of God, that at salvation begins to cause us to yearn and think about something beyond what we can see. Amen. Well, that's great. I mean, that's great. Well, how does the Spirit do that? Well, he says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when we're saved, something, the Spirit of God starts working in us and starts getting us to think about eternity. Now, this is the introduction of where we're going. So don't get, well, why are we learning this in a missions conference? To let you know that somebody going somewhere, if I'm not mistaken, I saw your need for living expenses in Santa Barbara was close to $10,000 a year. Isn't $10,000 the number I saw? A month. Yeah, not a year. Yeah, that'd be... with your family. Yeah, anyway. Married to your sister. Anyway, no, just... why did you get me off, man? You guys thought Dave McCracken was bad. Anyway, so they need $10,000 a month. You could say this, $10,000 a month. I could live high on the hog in Springfield, and you could. Because there's a lot of pork barbecue places here. But if you think about somebody willing to go from, was it Illinois? Yeah, good night. I mean, that's America. Now they're going to California. So watch, this is what I'm asking you. Why? Why? The preacher and I were talking about this at dinner. I'm glad God did not call me to plant a church. You go, you are? Yes, I would be a foreign missionary all day, but you know where the hardest place to start churches is? America. Because we've got everything. I mean, if God called me to be a missionary to the Philippines, I've been over there several times, I'd do it lickety-split. Why? They've got churches going and growing over there like they used to go and grow here.
That's right. Yeah.
And it doesn't take a lot of effort. They're going out and started churches having 80 the first year, having 300 the next year. And they're all people that are beginning to sustain the church with their giving. Folks, there's something different going on in places around the world where the Spirit has changed people's mind, and it's because they have been changed internally, and that's where he begins to talk about. So be very aware that, first of all, whether it's good or bad, you're going to receive reward accordingly.
Amen.
And be very aware that there's a big difference between appearance and what goes on in the heart. So the Spirit of God is helping you and I discern that every day. Now, if you have kids, you have said to your children, you have looked at them in the face and said, don't look at me like that. Remember, I used to be you. I know what you're thinking. Don't smile. You know why? Because as you grow older, you look back. If you've grown older and you think you did everything right from the point where you knew where right and wrong began to now, I need to talk to you. You need to write a book, because that's never happened to me. I look back at my life and I go, man, I wish I would not have done that. I wish I would have never started that. I wish this wouldn't... You know what it's done? It's changed. I've learned, and it's changed my direction. But that's what the Spirit's trying to do in you and I, to get us to recognize there's good and bad, and there's going to be a reward for either. There is what comes actually out of your actions. So can I just tell you this? God knows that you're here physically, but he also knows why you're here. tonight. He knows. He knows if you were dragged here, if your wife or husband shamed you into coming. No. I know that sound, but in a crowd this size, well, I had to come because I had to keep peace in the family. God knows that. My mom and dad made me. God knows that. What? He knows your heart. And there's a big difference between appearance and what actually is in your heart. Amen. So, as a believer, I sure do want to stand before the Lord and answer knowing that I did everything He wanted me to do rather than everything I wanted me to do. So how does that happen? Well, he begins that there in verse number 10 when he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it is good, it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." So he said, my mind understands this, that no matter what you think, what matters is what God thinks. Amen. So I would love to be right with men, but I know I better be right with God. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them with glory in appearance, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. So then he says, this is the reason that I am living this life. This is, watch, if you want to spell it out, this is who I am and who I am supposed to be. And by the way, it's who you and I are and who we are supposed to be when he says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I want you to notice there, it doesn't say the love for Christ constraineth us. It says the love of Christ. Whose love constrains me? Christ's love constrains me. What does that constraining do? It pushes me toward action. His love pushed him to action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It wasn't because of our love for God that we got saved. It's because of God's love for us that we got saved. So it is Christ's love that constrains me. Look, it doesn't, all I have to do is let the Holy Spirit of God do the work that the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in my life. And it's not speaking in tongues. It's not rolling around on the floor. And it's not trying to put on a big show. What it is, it's doing the job that God sent his Son to do. His love constrains me to be different than the person looking at the world. So watch. We've had missions conferences. We're 70 years old this year. How old is this church? Close to 60. So we, as far as I know, we've had 70 missions conferences. In fact, I just saw some paperwork. We have, this year will be our 70th missions conference. And our first pastor, Brother Richard Hester, was also our first missionary to Lebanon, who now is 96 years old, 94 years old, living in Sydney, Australia, with the people that he won to Christ in Lebanon. He went there and started churches because during the Civil War, they all moved to Australia, and he moved there and started churches, and he has five churches that I know of. One of them is English, half English speaking and half Arabic speaking. They run about 800 on Sunday mornings. They have a brand new building that they built a few years back, and that church is going. He has several other churches and works and people that know him, and that man has been our missionary for 70 years. You go, well, why would he go? Why would he go to Lebanon? He has a book out called Cast Your Bread. And when you cast your bread upon the water, it'll return in many days. And he says this, God took a Kansas farm boy and gave him a love for a people around the world that he went, learned how to speak Arabic in 1 month. Why? Because he wanted to preach to people about the love of Christ. Does the love of Christ constrain you so that you would, according to this, verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again? When you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit of God started the work in you to cause you to understand what happened at salvation. You went to from serving sin to serving the Savior. You're not supposed to live to yourself. Do you hear? Carnal thinking says, I'm all that matters. Carnal thinking says, the preacher made me mad, I'm never going back to that church again. Carnal thinking says, well, we've got to change things because we got a new generation to reach. Excuse me? Paul was reaching the next generation, and he didn't say, I need to change the approach. I need to change the gospel. In fact, he said, if there's any other gospel, it is not a gospel. Read Galatians chapter 1. Well, Brother Ron, I just feel. Do you know God didn't call you by the Holy Spirit of God to start feeling things that are opposite of the Bible? Amen. You went from serving sin to serving the Savior. That's what you're called to do. That's our responsibility. We should call it this. That's our privilege. To actually serve the one who gave his all, every drop of blood for us. His love should constrain you to go from serving sin to serving the Savior. Amen. But it doesn't just stop there, because we can all say, well, that's what I do. I mean, I'm at church on Wednesday night. Of course I'm not serving sin. What about your mind? What about your thoughts? What about your actions, your talking, your conversations about people or about the pastor, about it? Do you know it's not about, I read an article that was written by actually a Christian group that I kind of thought I agreed with. They were Baptist, independent Baptist. And this is what they said. Churches need to go from winning to the hospital for the wounded. Christians all over the world need the church to be a hospital for the wounded. Yeah, that's not exactly what Christ died for. I believe the church should be kind. I believe the church should be reaching into the community and helping. Please do not. I believe if there's an opportunity for us to help, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely we should do that. But our main objective is to take people from serving sin to serving the Savior. Amen. And that only comes with a heart change. That's what the previous chapter 4, all the way through that, where we've read down here to this verse, that's what that's all about, how the Spirit of God, when you get saved, begins to change your mind. Stop serving sin and start serving the Savior. Why? That's what the love of Christ constrains you to do. Not only that, but it says this, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, and now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We go from self-righteousness to the righteousness of God. Everything becomes new when you're saved. Listen, the old life doesn't have any control over you. Romans chapter number 6, 7, and 8 say, it shouldn't have dominion over you. You let it have dominion. So you've got, listen, we're talking about reaching the world. I guess I should have started by saying this. You know what the world needs? Something different than the world. You know what Santa Barbara needs? Somebody who's willing to go in there and stick and become what they need, not changing doctrine, not changing their philosophy, but going in there and saying, you know what you need? You need what I've got. Why? Because the love of Christ constrained me to go from self-righteousness. I had nothing to offer to the righteousness of God, the only thing that can be offered. And that was done through the blood of Jesus Christ. So he says, the Spirit's working in you and constraining you. The love of Christ is constraining you to go from your self-righteousness to the righteousness of God. We're no longer called to follow ourselves or try to be righteous in ourselves. But the Bible says there in verse number 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. He reconciled us. We were at odds with him. Enemies. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Glory to his name. He reconciled us. And look at the last part of that verse. Guess what he's done? And he's given you the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. You know what a missions conference is about? It's about the church coming together in a business meeting to decide the fate of the world. It's people saying, do I really care about God's plan to reconcile mankind? Do you know in 2024 why the church is still here? We still have the same job. What? Feeding the homeless and helpless? No, I think we can reach into the community. I I'm not against that, but I don't think that's our driving purpose. If we don't give them something for their soul, what good was feeding their face? Amen. Think about it. It's, again, I'm not against ministry. Don't look, oh, that church, they're inwardly focused. No. Our main objective is still the same, reconciling men and women to God. And the reason it says men is because it means mankind. So don't get all messed up in your mind about it. Well, in the new version stinks. You need to stay with the old version. And so the Bible tells, if you start softening in certain areas and trying to change English, you won't believe what will happen. Anyway, don't get me started. Stop it. He's taken us from ruin to reconciliation. Amen. Watch. The love of Christ constrained me and constraineth me so much. Constraineth means it's a constant process in my life that pushes me to action. Because I'm reconciled, I think everybody should be reconciled. I'm going to be honest. I think a preacher should be honest at least once in a message, and here I go. And so, this is it. Twyla says if his Bible's not open, don't listen to him. And so, the truth is, I'm just going to be plain here. I hope you aren't, well, I know the preacher feels the same way. Sometimes people just get on your nerves. You just don't want to be around them. You just don't like them. We live in a world, I don't like most people in it. Now, I like y'all. I don't know most of you, but most of you have smiled. Some of you are sleeping, but it's fine. And it happens everywhere I go. I just guess I have one of those, let's put a bird right here. I don't know. To me, I listen to myself on tape. I go, how could somebody sleep during that? Sorry, I told you I get distracted. This is what happens. It is true. You'll find out. Some of you already know, and you're like, come back. That's why I'm not looking over here. And so, I don't. Sometimes I don't like people. Do you know what? The love of Christ constrains me when I, watch, when I encounter a person that I know, I'm just, that I know has no interest in the scriptures. In fact, this happened to me just Monday. I was at a place and, I was actually at a driving range and I was hitting golf balls. I hit 250 in 2 hours. It was awesome. And it was kind of rainy, and so I had needed something to do. And so this young lady served me a Coke Zero, and she came up and talked to me, asked me some questions. I told her, you know, who I was and so forth. So at the end, I paid her, gave her a tip, and then I gave her a thank you track. And I said, I just want to tell you I appreciate your service, and here's a little thing I wish you would read if you would do that. She goes, oh, thanks. And she puts it in there. She rings up all the stuff. And I had given her cash. And then I saw her go like this. Drop that in the trash. And I wanted to go, what's wrong with you? You think I gave that to you for my health? That's what I wanted to do. I went, oh, that's a bummer. Inside, I was screaming. Truly, when I walked away, it was a bummer. Why? Because the love of Christ really constrained me to give her that tract. I didn't know where she was going if she died. She evidently doesn't care. But that's beside the point. I'm not reaching to people. I'm reaching because Christ's constrained me to go. Now, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what station they are in life. It doesn't matter what station you are in life. When you're born again, you and I are called. We're constrained by the love of Christ to not be human beings on the carnal nature level, but to be human beings that are thinking always of eternity, our eternity. Am I laying up treasures in heaven? And then what about those people's eternity? When you drive past an accident, you go, man, I wonder if they were saved. When you're served by a server, after you've chewed them out, do you give them a track? I mean, I hope it doesn't have the church's name on it, but you should be kind. Why? Because people still need to be saved. And the love of Christ constrains us to reconcile men and women to God. Listen to exactly how he says it. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, knowing this, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The Holy Spirit of God has taken us from the world to spreading the word. And we have the opportunity to do it still in 2024. Do you know why? One reason. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There you go, Calvinist. What do you think about that? He still loves the whole world. And he still wants them to know. And he's given an avenue for the world to know. So my question is for you, is the love of Christ constraining you to give to missions? Is the love of Christ constraining you to be a witness right here in Springfield, Missouri, and on your vacation and everywhere else you go? Is the love of Christ constraining you to think more of people as far as eternity rather than in the present? Because in the present, we live in a weird world. Yeah. Amen. I'm seeing things that I never would have thought I would ever see in my life. I mean, I'm only 61. I know some of you are older than that. I know that Miss Rainey would say she lived to be in her 90s, and she would say, I just can't believe God's letting this old world stay alive. And you know what? I can't either, but I do know this. The reason he is because he wants us to spread the ministry and the word of reconciliation. What if they don't receive it, Brother Ron? It's not your job to make them believe. It's your job to spread. It's your job to give. It's your job to go. It's your privilege. It's my privilege. Why? Because God took me just in the moment of salvation from the world and made me a preacher, a proclaimer of the reconciliation of Christ. If you've been here very long, I know you've heard these messages, and none of this is going to should be new to you, but it should cause you to ask yourself this question. What is it that constrains me? Well, why does that matter? Well, verse 20 now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ did, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You mean it's possible to be saved, receive the grace of God, to be changed from the inside out, to be constrained by the love of Christ, and still not be motivated by the right thing in reaching the world? Here's what I know. Temple Baptist Church has been in El Dorado for 70 years. In 70 years, please listen to me, we've not reached the whole city of El Dorado. What? I'll just tell you. One person, two people being constrained isn't going to get the job done. 10 people. It's not to get the job done. If you're born again in here tonight, what's going to get the job done is you believing that God has made you a worker together with them, with him, and you should be beseeched, begged to say, I will be involved in reconciling the world to Christ, with Christ, to God, because the love of Christ has pushed me to action. If you've never given to missions in here, I'll say this throughout the week because I say it at Temple Baptist Church all the time. I am certain that not everybody in this room gives to missions. Why? Well, not everybody at Temple Baptist Church gives to missions. But I will tell you this, you go to a missions-giving church. Amen. I know the preacher told me the money that you gave last year, this is a missions-giving church. You're not a missions giver just because you go to a missions-giving church. Amen. Well, our church reaches blah, blah, blah. Do you tithe? Then you're not reaching. Do you witness? You're not going. Well, I don't feel called. Excuse me. You're an ambassador. Right now, you own the message of the King. The King says, go ye into all the world. What kind of ambassador are you? Well, I go to a church that wins souls. We see souls saved in the church. How many of you witness to? What constrains you? Does your position constrain you? Well, I don't want to be known as a fruitcake. Well, in this world, we're going to be known as a lot more than that before this is all over. If I start telling people about Christ, then I'm not going to have all the contacts I need to make all the money I need to make so that I can retire whenever I'm 60 or 55 or 65 or 25, I don't know. You guys aren't going to make that. And so, I won't have the friends. What about my friends? I want my friends not, I don't want them to think that I'm some kind of weirdo, that I'm trying to get everybody saved. I was at Temple Baptist Church for about 6 years. There was a school teacher in our church. She and her husband had started going. He was a police officer. She was a school teacher. She was very beloved by the kids. She was just one of the nicest people. God had really started to get a hold in their family's hearts, and she herself was just giving herself to the Lord. And one morning she was driving to work, and there was a truck pulled over on the wrong side of the road, and they were hauling big, long pieces of equipment for the oil field, sucker rods, and she misjudged, and she ran right into the back of that. She died. She was 30, maybe. 30 what? 33. She was loved. The police officers came out of respect for her husband, her family that was unsaved came. I preached a salvation message. I would love to tell you that 100 people got saved. But here's what happened. When they walked out, they were overheard by some of the people from our church saying, "You know, this church, every time I come to a funeral, they just want people to go to heaven. That's what they want. It's like they're ready to load up a bus and take people to heaven. It just makes me tired." You know, I could have been real upset about that, but what upset me was just this, that I knew that young lady would have loved for somebody Amen. To get saved. Her heart had changed. Her mind was changing. But you know, that still doesn't change our message. It doesn't change our approach. It doesn't change our responsibility, our privilege. Our job is still to reach the world. Brother Ron, I give. Here's my last point. Remember the good and bad and the motivation of the outward and the inward? Just giving to missions or even tithing doesn't absolve us from the responsibility to reconcile. "Well, I'm too old." No, you're not. You're alive. "Well, I'm too young." You're alive. If you're saved, you have a responsibility. Amen. "Well, I'm middle-aged and I'm too busy." You have a responsibility. Amen. And you'll receive reward for good or bad. And whether you did it for the outward or whether you did it because of the inward is also already known to God. What constrains you? What is it that moves you to action? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many say here tonight, "Brother Ron, I know for sure if I died right now, no doubt about it, if I died right now, I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? I know I'm saved. There's just no doubt about it. Nobody's looking around, just me. I'm going to thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. You don't know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. You say, "Brother Ron, I've thought about it. I'm concerned about it." I'd ask you to pray with me. "I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me?" I would if you'd let me. Would you just lift your hand anywhere in the auditorium and let me pray with you? Is there anybody like that? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else? "I'm just not sure. Would you pray for me?" Lord, I pray for these who raise their hand, and I ask you to help them to, first of all, have a heart and understanding to get this settled here tonight, that they would see that you have placed this doubt or maybe this concern in their heart because you love them. You desire for them to be reconciled to you. So I pray, God, that you'd work in their heart. by the Holy Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. How many of you would say this? Brother Ron, something in the message tonight spoke to my heart. I just ask you to pray with me about it. That God will give me the confidence and the willingness to deal with it. If you would raise your hand, I sure would pray with you. Anybody like that, just lift your hand all over the auditorium. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, you can thank you. Anybody else, thank you. Thank you, right there on my left, your right. Thank you, anybody else? Brother Ron, pray with me. Lord, spoken to my heart in some way. Christian, you and I have a responsibility. It'd be the right thing to start off the missions conference by saying, God, I need your love to constrain me, and I know that you love me.